He has PhD in Indo-Vedic psychology and serves as distance learning professor of Indo-Vedic philosophy and psychology at Bhakti Yoga College, Florida, USA, overseeing students from various countries. He authored and compiled many books, as all of us know, the famous Bhakti Vriksha Manual and also the book of Icebreaker Super Sunday. He has traveled to dozens of countries, often more than once, presenting seminars and workshops on principles and ideas of building vibrant Vaishnav communities. Roji is at present right now. He serves as a special duty officer of Brazil. He is also co-chairman of GBC Organizational Development Committee, the committee which oversees the development of organization of ISKCON. He is also the trustee and faculty member of GBC College. He is member of GBC Nomination Committee. He is a member of GBC Strategic Planning Team and Network. And he is co-minister with His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, the ISKCON Congregational Development Ministry. So we are very honored to have Prabhuji here. Let's welcome Prabhuji by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Hare Krishna. Good morning. How are you doing? Is anybody here for the first time? Anybody visiting temple for first time? Most welcome. So I have a disclaimer for those who come first time, that please do not judge ISKCON by my class today, okay? So generally there are more scholarly, more pure, just more realized devotees. Today you got me. They're just trying to encourage me, because I have had a very difficult childhood. So in the spirit of devotee care, the devotee is trying to encourage me, okay? But keep coming, okay? So we'll sing a little bit. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Valla Bhagiri Varadhari Gopi Jana Valla Bhagiri Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayu Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tiravana Charina. Yamuna Tiravana Chari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki, Jai. So today we are studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 14, the disappearance of Lord Krishna. And we have two verses, verse 35 and 36. 35 on the board. These are verses spoken by Maharaj Yudhisthira. So we should take it very serious. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mangalaya cha lokanam. Shrimaya cha bhavaya cha. Aste yadokulam bodhau. Adyo nanta sakhapuman. Mangalaya cha lokanam. Shrimaya cha bhavaya cha. Aste yadokulam bodhau. adhyo nanta sakha puma. Word-by-word translation, Mangalaya, for all good, cha, also, Lokanam, of all the planets, Kshemaya, for protection, cha, and Bhavaya, for elevation, cha, also, Asti, is there. Yadukula Ambodho in the ocean of the Yadu dynasty. Adhya, the original. Ananta Sakha, in the company of Ananta Balaram. Puman, supreme enjoyer. So I read the next verse and then I go into the translation. Yad bahu dhanda guptayam swapuryam yadavorshitah kridhanti paramanandam mahapurushika iva. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The original personality of Godhead, the enjoyer, and Balaram, the primeval Lord Ananta, are staying in the ocean of the Yadu dynasty for the welfare, protection, and general progress of the entire universe. And the members of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of the Lord, are enjoying life like the residents of the spiritual sky. Purport. As we have discussed many times, the personality of Godhead Vishnu resides within each and every universe in two capacities, namely as the Garbhodakashai Vishnu and the Kshirodakashai Vishnu. The Kshirodakashai Vishnu has his own planet on the northern top of the universe. And there is a great ocean of milk where the Lord resides on the bed of the Ananta incarnation of Baladev. Thus, Maharaj Yudhisthira has compared the Yadu dynasty to the ocean of milk. and Sri Balaram to the Ananta, where Lord Krishna resides. He has compared the citizens of Dvaraka to the liberated inhabitants of the Vaikuntha Lokas, beyond the material sky, further than we can see with our eyes, and beyond the sevenfold coverings of the universe, there is the causal ocean, in which all the universes are floating like footballs. And beyond the causal ocean, there is an unlimited span of spiritual sky, generally known as the effulgence of Brahman. Within this effulgence, there are innumerable spiritual planets, and they are known as the Vaikuntha planets. Each and every Vaikuntha planet is many, many times bigger than the biggest universe within the material world. And in each of them, there are innumerable inhabitants who look exactly like Lord Vishnu. These inhabitants are known as the Mahapaurushikas, or persons directly engaged in the service of the Lord. They are happy in those planets and are without any kind of misery. And they live perpetually in full youthfulness, enjoying life in full bliss and knowledge, without fear of birth, death, old age, or disease, and without the influence of Kala, eternal time. Maharaj Yudhisthira has compared the inhabitants of Dvaraka to the Mahapaurushikas of Vaikuntha Loka because they are so happy with the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are many references to the Vaikuntha Lokas, and they are mentioned there as Maddhama, or the kingdom of the Lord. Omagyana tivrendasya ginanjana salakaya chakshuru mrita mena tasmai shi guru vinama namo shubhaya vishnu dave jagadav swami namo sharadani dave jagadav mom vishvadaya krishna vistha budaleshi mate bhakti vedanta swami niti namine namaste saraswati devi gurbani pacharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarine panchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu vaivacha patitana pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. So the disappearance of Lord Krishna, this is one of the heaviest chapters in the whole Bhagavatam. There are more than 300 chapters in the Bhagavatam, and this is one of the most tragic. The feelings here are very, very heavy. Now, we need to give a little framing. Sometimes the problem with the framing is that every class, the devotee who sits here give the framing. So this is, we are verse 35. You may have heard the framing of the chapter 34 times. But we have new guests, so we need to give some framing. Okay? So here, Maharaj Yudhisthira is in Hastinapur, he is the emperor. This is many years after the battle of Kurukshetra. And he's talking with Bhima Sena. You all know because you all watch Mahabharata serial, right? So, and there is also the book, you know, there is also a book called Mahabharata. You know, there is a joke. It happened here in Bollywood. There were two goats outside the Bollywood studios, no? And they had discarded some old films. They were all rotten, and they were discarding these films. And one goat was eating. You know, goats eat anything, right? So one goat was eating one of these old films, no? And the other goat asked, how is that movie? The other goat goes, it's okay, but I like more the book. You didn't get it. Okay, no problem. It's not, no problem. It's not a problem. Don't worry. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj is there talking with Bhimasena. And what happened is that Arjuna had gone to Dwaraka. You all know where is Dwaraka, right? So, and there was several months passed, and he was not back. And so Yudhishthira Maharaj started seeing very, very negative, very terrible, fearful omens. Now, there's these old signs of omen. If you see an elephant, it's very good. If you need somebody with a bucket of water, it's good. But if it's empty bucket, it's not good, right? You know, there is the old tradition. And these omens were very, very, very heavy. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was seeing the few several verses. He's talking with Bhimasena, saying, oh, this happened, this happened. The jackals, the cry, and there are so many meteorological phenomena, all negative. And he understands that what must have happened probably is because Lord Krishna finally left this world. And for a devotee like Yudhishthira, for devotees like Pandavas, there's nothing more piercing, there's nothing more fearful, there's nothing more painful. They're warriors. If they get cut, they get an arrow, they get, you know, Bhimasena fought so many days with Duryodhana, so many hits on the body of these clubs. That's nothing in comparison to the pain of thinking Krishna is not anymore in this planet. But that time, he was not confirmed. So then at one point, Arjuna comes back. And Yudhishthira Maharaj sees that Arjuna is completely disheveled, very pale. He didn't use fair and lovely. He was just pale because, in fact, in the West, when you're pale, they think you are unhealthy. You know that? Here in India, you have a different conception of what's beauty. You know, you think that less melanin means more beauty. In the West, it's the opposite. More melanin, more beauty. Anyway, that's a different issue. Let's stay on this, please. Don't distract me with these things. So, Arjuna comes and is very pale, or very depressed. Arjuna is a very exuberant personality. But he is very down. And Yudhishthira Maharaj start asking questions, what happened? And it's very revealing. This chapter is very revealing culturally because Yudhishthira Maharaj asks questions that reveal Vedic knowledge and the values of Kshatriyas. In other words, what happened to you? Maybe there was some people you had to protect and couldn't protect, which is a major source of agony for a Kshatriya. So all question. This happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. And only, I'll give you a little sneak preview. Only on the last verse of the chapter, Yudhishthira Maharaj finally says, it must be because Krishna left. So this chapter is very dark, is very intense. And at the same time, this particular verse is like a breath of fresh air. Because here still Yudhishthira Maharaj is not going to the point Krishna left or not, but he is talking about the Yadus. Yadus are all special personalities. They're not normal human beings. You don't become a Yadu just by going to IIT or something like that. You have to have millions of lifetimes of punya, of pious activities. And some Yadus actually come from the spiritual world directly. So Yudhisthir Maharaj is telling Bhima Sena, these Yadus are like the inhabitants of the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada elaborates, what are these inhabitants of the spiritual world? First of all, he gives us a geographical outline. There is the universe. Then there are seven coverings of the universe. You know that, right? Seven coverings of the universe. And each covering is 10 times bigger, larger than the previous one. There is a universe, then there is a cover as thick as the universe. The second cover is 10 times as thick. The third cover is 10 times as the second one. The fourth one is 10 times as the third one, and so on. So practically, once I calculated, I forgot, if the universe diameter is 1 centimeter, somebody is good with the mathematics, mathematical, once I calculated, I don't have the notes. If the universe is 1 centimeter, the coverings of the universe is few kilometers. And we are there inside, in one planet. It's called Earth. And we are in Mumbai. And some of you, I don't know, some of you may come from the province, Nagpur or somewhere, and you may think, well, Mumbai, you know, I made it to Mumbai. No, this is really an happening place. I was in Bungalpanga village or something, now I'm Mumbai, no? But we are in Mumbai, we think Mumbai, but actually we are all in this very claustrophobic universe. And then, outside the universe, there are many, many universes, and they all float in this Karana ocean, the ocean of causes, this Viraja river, like that. And beyond this river, there is the unlimited spiritual sky, Brahman, the personal Brahman, just like beautiful light, all pervading light. And it's very pleasant. Sometimes when there is a lot of light, it's very hot, right? You go for shelter. You go for a shady place. But this is very pleasant light. And it's spiritual light. And in this light, there are many, 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 innumerable Vaikuntha planets. And actually, Srila Prabhupada had captured this scene, this description in the cover of the book. You see what we are discussing? Huh? Like that. And this is the material world. You don't see Mumbai because it's very small. This is Krishna Loka. Okay? And these are all planets, Vaikuntha planets, and each planet is bigger than the universe. So what happens on these planets? People live eternally. There's just no end. There's no entropy. Entropy means that because of the influence of time, everything degrades and ultimately dissolves. If you look around, the room, the people, the architecture, the decorations. Everything you see today, after some time, will stop existing. Everything. There is not a single thing that will remain. But in the spiritual world, it's not like that. That's why it's called Vaikuntha. Negative Vaikuntha means anxiety. Huh? And so there is no anxiety. There is no economic problems. Because the floor is Chintamani. Chintamani gems. So there's no need of money. There's no need of going to work to get some money and then buying groceries. And then, so it's a perfect world. And then, people have the male, there are male and female, and the male, they look like Vishnu. A little difference, like Vishnu has got this Shrivatsa mark, you know, this tuft of white hair. But white, not because of old age, you follow, no, it's a spiritual, transcendental, eternal white hair. Women, they all look like Lakshmi Devi, goddess of fortune. Lakshmi is Asha Sata Sambrama Sivyamana. So these are the normal inhabitants. And they are all very happy. They are full of love. There is Narayana. And they meditate on Narayana. They serve Narayana. Srila Prabhupada explained how they're always cleaning, although there is no dust. Because there is no dust. But still they clean. Because just a sense of seva, no? Pure seva, when there's no need, but you still want to do something like that. And let's analyze the body. See, these bodies are Satchit Ananda. Sat, eternal, they don't die. Chit, they're full of knowledge. They're never covered by illusion. They're never covered by depression. They're never covered by mental disease. And Ananda. There is an all-pervading bliss. Here we work very hard to get a little pleasure. Right? There are two things in the world. Pravritti, Nivritti. We do things to get something favorable. And we do something to avoid something unpleasant. Okay? Just like I came on Friday, and I come, I'm always very interested to see the billboards in Mumbai. Because you have the biggest billboards in India. Congratulations. And there is this new movie, it's called Mili. Huh? Mili. I don't know who is Mili, I don't know. But there is one girl, and there is she is normal, like that, and it's kind of photographed 5 times. And then on this 5th time, she's all full of ice. You've seen it, no? No, you don't see, you are only, you know. Don't see anything. Okay. And then she's completely frozen of ice. And they see also there is this degrees. So she's under like 60 degrees under zero, which is very cold. Why I'm talking about this? Because this doesn't happen in Vaikuntha. You never freeze to death in Vaikuntha. So I don't know about the movie. I don't know what's the story. I'm not recommending the movie. I'm not paid to promote the movie. I'm not saying you should see the movie. But I got this. Like Nivritti. You are frozen or freezing and you want to defroze. You want to defreeze. Or, so that's like nivritti. And then pravritti, you want something. And as usual, outside the airport, there is a big billboard with the latest iPhone. iPhone 14. And last time, it's a few years I don't come to Mumbai. Last time was iPhone 10. Right? Then I go a few years, I come back, now it's iPhone 14. But it's the same thing. I don't know if you heard that even the daughter of Steve Jobs criticized this iPhone 14. She said, it's just the same thing as 13. It's just the same thing. So I was looking at this billboard, and I was thinking, this punas punat charvita charvananam. No, chewing the chew. I chew the I chew. In iPhone, I chew. You got that? So it's just, you try to get pleasure. You try to get pleasure. But you already all have mobile phones, and they're fine. They take good pictures, right? You don't need the iPhone 14. Don't tell Apple that I told you that. But you don't need it. If you are at the 13, if you have the, even if you have 8, which I know for many of you it's a major humiliation. Now, if you have iPhone 8, you take it out. And really, you don't show. You don't show. You know, you look at it like this. You don't want to know that you are so poor, so low class, that you only have 8. Okay? In Vaikuntha, everybody has iPhone 108. You like that? You like when they talk about phone, you become all enlivened. I know phone is your major friend, most faithful. Like here, say the personality of Godhead, Balaram, they're staying in the Yadu dynasty. And just like Balaram, Ananta is always with Vishnu, you are always with your phone. So I understand there is a very deep, relation. Okay, but whatever phone you have is fine. Okay, don't worry about that. So now, I'm sorry, but this is the Bhagavatam. I have to tell you the truth. Okay. So now we need to analyze a little bit. The body of the Vaikuntha planets are perfect, okay? The bodies in this world, they're not perfect. Now, when you look too much at the billboards, you start forgetting that. You start forgetting that. Because the billboards, they try to tell you that your priority in life is to make this body as attractive as possible. Right? Very, very shining billboards for decoration, ornaments, gold. Gold. Last time I was in Mumbai, there was a big billboard with Amitabh Bachchan. You know, he advertises anything. He advertises anything and everything. So this time, I don't know if they use always the same photo, because often he's just like that. You know, they just change the product. So this time he was like that, and he was showing some gold decorations. And I was wondering why he has to advertise that. Does he wear those? You know, he opened the shirt, he has got gold. There was another billboard last time I came. The same Amitabh Bachchan showing a sack of cement. And I was wondering what he has to do. He is an actor, maybe he's a great actor, I don't know. I never saw Amitabh Bachchan movie. Sorry, but I never saw. So, what does he know about cement? What's that? His hobby? His hobby, he builds little walls in the garden. with the daughter-in-law and the Sunday little party. They, you know, they use cement. So he's an expert on building things with cement. I don't know. I really don't know. So, but anyway, the point is, these billboards, these advertisements, the culture, materialistic culture, tells us, look, you are the body. That's the first step in self-realization. You are the body. And you have to do your best for decorating, ornamenting, and making your body more attractive. And you know, in psychology, there is a very, very, very powerful concept. It's the concept of denial. You all heard, denial. It means the mind is so strong that the mind manages to forget things we don't like. So, our mind is so powerful that manages to forget the very nature of our body. We live inside the body and we have experience. But the mind is so strong that creates a sense of denial that our body are beautiful, that our body are attractive. But if you analyze the body, it's pretty disgusting. Anything that comes out of the body is disgusting. With a very important exception. Milk. And ironically, only women produce milk. Males may feel, well, I'm a male, whatever, not the male ego. But actually, the male body doesn't produce anything edible. The women's body produces milk, which is a miracle food. But if you analyze for a moment what comes out of the body, nothing that comes out besides milk, nothing that comes out of the body is nice or edible. Like, I give you an example. You can start, say, from the top. And we are sometimes very proud of our hair. Okay? People spend unlimited crores of rupees for hair care. Right? Once I was in my in-laws' house. I don't have a TV. I don't watch TV. And, you know, I was in the in-law house. There is the TV always on, so I watch. So every 10 minutes, there is some shampoo, a commercial. Every 10 minutes, every 15 minutes, you're watching something. No, this shampoo. And there are these girls, they come with this hair that moves around like, you know, okay, and you don't have those hair, and you feel I will also like hairs that go, and you don't have those hairs. I don't even know if they're real, or they cut some tail of a horse, they put it on the head. I don't know how they manage, but so you feel, oh, I don't have that hair. My hair is not that black. My hair is not so kind of floats in the air. You know, it floats, doesn't stay down. It's like it's a hair which is beyond the laws of gravity. And then you go for the shampoo, but actually, one devotee once said something. I don't know if it's scientific, but he said there was a devotee. Actually, it was a devotee who, the first time he came to the temple, this is in Finland, he came to the temple, he was very attached to his hair. He's a male devotee, very attached to his hair, blonde, long. And one devotee told him, you know, your hair is just crystallized excrement. He was shocked because he had been cultivating this idea, my hair is so beautiful, so blonde. He was really identified. But actually, you know, whatever comes out of the body, if you see cut hair, you feel it's dirty, right? See the magician, Maya magician. If you see hair on your floor, you sweep it out, right? But when it's on the head, it's great. How does it work? If it's on the floor, you just sweep it out. No, if your mother sees some hair on your room, they say, what is this hair? It's so dirty. But if that same hair is on the head, you think it's great. You see, my. Then you come down, eyes. You see, when you get up in the morning, there's all these crusts. Huh? Very unpleasant. Nobody eats them. Nobody goes on. Pretty good. No? And then you go to the nose. You're already laughing. Whatever comes out of the nose, and there are different colors. Sometimes it's a fact. It's a fact. Sorry, I need to tell. See, if I'm sitting here, I have to tell you the truth. If I get down, I can tell you a little white lies or things. Oh, you look very nice. I can tell you. Here, I cannot. It's like a special, special dimension. Okay. So, nose. There are different types of nuts, some very crispy, some very hard, and some very liquid. Some days you can't stop. That just goes on and on and on. And nobody eats it, you know, because it's disgusting. It's rejection. And then the ears, you know, there is this thing for cleaning the ear. Nobody, huh? The buds, the better the metal ones, not like they scoop things out. And sometimes you go inside and things come. Nobody goes, that's pretty good, you know. I like the black more, but this yellow is not bad at all. Okay. This guest must be shocked. Hare Krishna. Mouth. Whatever comes out of the mouth. What comes out of the mouth? Huh? Cough. Okay. Then? Saliva. Now this drooling. You know, you see this drooling, disgust. Sometimes vomit. Huh? And like that. You know, I won't go below the belt. Okay? Because there are children. I don't want to shock them. I don't want to traumatize them. But, you know, I don't want to go. If you have in your free time, you can analyze, you can visualize. I won't go there, okay? Also because after this breakfast, I don't want to disturb your system. But even if you look at the old skin, everything comes out. It's bad. It's sweat. And then there is dust, and the dust is stuck to the sweat. But we are very proud of our bodies. And because of Maya magic, the mystic power of Maya, we are very attracted to others' bodies. And so we are in this pit of misery of the material world with these very, very unpleasant bodies. But we think we're fine. How are you? Fine. How can you be fine if you're in that body? How can you be fine? You cannot be fine. And I'm just talking about the hygienic aspect, the external aspect. What about the pain? There is physical pain. We all have experience, physical pain. I don't have to list the physical pains. But they're sometimes very severe. And then there is psychological pain, constant fear, They are young. Don't tell them these things now. Okay. They'll grow and they'll learn. But there is so much pain in the world. There's so much of psychological pain. There's the fourth thing. Ahara, Nidra, Maithunam, and Bhaya. Srila Prabhupada explained in this canto, Bhaya is the prominent one. Because you eat, we eat 2-3 times a day. But we don't always think of food. Then there is sleeping. We need to sleep, but we don't always think of sleeping. Then there is union. But we don't always think of union. Okay? But fear is constant. Fear is constant. It's a constant companion. Like squirrels. You see squirrels. They are constantly in fear. We don't move because they are more vata than humans. So they move more quick. Okay? We don't move that quick. But our mind is like a squirrel. You see squirrels. They all, even if they... they're always, for them it's normal. Imagine a human being that goes... Oh my God. Constantly. And our mind is like that. We're always fearful. We are fearful. There are the mega fears, global warming. That's another very, very illustrative example of denial as a species. Yeah, there is global warming, but that's not for me. You know, that's... In Mumbai, we have global warming since 100 years anyway. So, you know, we are accustomed to it. For us, it's nothing. So, global warming, the economy, COVID, and many, many other things. But then there are psychological fears. We fear to be inadequate. We fear we are not looking good enough, both socially and aesthetically. We think we are too fat. We think we are too thin. We think we are too dark. And our life is consumed by these fears. I knew one, I was younger sister, and she had a friend. And this girl was completely normal, actually quite slim. Nobody would think that she is fat. Nobody, because she's very slim, tall, slim, but she had this idea that she was fat. And the suffering was real. And she, instead of going to vacation, she went to an institute to lose weight. And there was nothing to lose. She was completely normal. In fact, my sister was much fatter than her. But she really had this fear, imaginary fear. And look, this is science, this is research. Women tend to feel uncomfortable with their bodies more than men. But men also. When men see these muscular people, they feel I'm too short, or they feel I'm too tall. There's always something. Or they feel I'm too old. So we are very uncomfortable in this body. And after all this fear, after all this pain, after all this mucus coming out from everywhere, the body dies. Because this universe is designed to kill us. Is perfectly calibrated to kill everyone. Imagine a huge mechanism, a huge machine, like they do for, they produce meat, right? So they put the meat and it goes through, get crushed and get into, they make sausage, right? So they put the meat and it grinds So this universe is like a huge grinder, and we are inside. And it's designed to grind us into dust. So we are very fortunate that we have this knowledge that can reorient us to our real home, our real eternal home of happiness. Thank you very much. So they told me we could go till 10. We have space for questions and answers. I mean, you're supposed to ask the question, I'm supposed to give the answer. That's a general idea. I don't know. Any question? Fear. They say fear. I'm sure you have questions. I'm sure you have questions. But you are, some of you, not all of you, some of you are afraid. Because if you raise your hand, people will look at you. And you will feel that maybe they don't think I'm so great, or maybe they think my question is not very smart. So, question and answer. It's a time of fear. But there is somebody fearless there. Please. And we have a mic.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. You mentioned that in Vaikuntha, there are Vishnu Dutas who have bodies like Vishnu, and you mentioned that there are Lakshmis. The female gets Lakshmi, that Lakshmi body. But we say that the soul has no sex, right? So what determines who gets that body of Vishnu Duta and who gets the other?
Thank you. I never heard that the soul has no sex. I don't know. Where is it written that the soul has no sex? The soul means us, the self. It's not of the same sex, of the same gender of the body. In other words, we have a body which is of a certain gender, male or female. And the soul is not necessarily male or female as the body. But the soul has its own gender. Yeah, there are female souls, there are male souls. That's one thing. And when you say who determines, these are eternal forms. Sat means eternal. They exist forever. The Bhagavad Gita has explained there are two types of entities, fallibles and unfallible. This Mahapurushika, this Vaikuntha people, they are infallible. And they live forever. There is no beginning to their form. And if you really have to ask, okay, who determines? As Krishna, if Krishna wants to live eternally with his devotees, and he has his female form of himself, Narayana, Lakshmi, Radha, Krishna, right? And then there is expansions. Not expansion in time, in the sense that one day they expanded, but there are expansions who are male and female servants. So this is like an ontological status. God as his male and female aspect, and the servants of God have their male and female aspects. And there are also deers of different genders, peacocks, and so on. And there's no beginning. And so you could say that the desire of Krishna to surround himself of different type of devotees, animal form, human form, but none of the limitations that we see in this world. Okay, does it help? If you had enough, we can close here. Right? We don't have to go till 10. No. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very powerful class, Prabhuji. With so much humor, you spoke so many powerful things. So thank you. It was wonderful. You spoke about the fact that body, you know, so many horrible things come out of the body. It was very heart-hitting. And then the mind is always fearful. So even after so many years in Krishna consciousness, still we have attachment for the body. So what is the understanding we can have that, I mean, till we leave our bodies, somehow that little bit attachment will be there. It may not be very gross, it may be subtle, but it is there. So what can we do consciously to try to reduce that? Is there something we can do beyond what we're already doing?
To reduce the?
Reduce the attachment that we have for our body and our position and whatever, you know, our mind tells us about ourselves.
Okay. See, just like we feed our bodies, we feed our minds. And as I mentioned, if we are connected too much with the material world and the messaging of the material world through the internet, through the TV, through the movies, through the billboards, through the association of people who are materialistic, we feed our mind with body consciousness. We cannot avoid 100% because we live in the world, so something will rub off, okay? But we need to balance that, we need to counteract that by associating with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam, like today, it tells us there is a spiritual world. There is bodies, we don't have the limitations of our bodies. Most people have no idea, they don't have this knowledge, they have no idea. So we need to remind ourselves. We need to remind ourselves that our condition is not a natural condition. It's a precarious condition. It's a miserable condition. So we need to remind ourselves through the scriptures. Because the scriptures give us the highest standard. I also want to go on record saying that although the body is whatever it is, it's also precious. So we in Krishna consciousness, we give great value to the body because it's a very extremely sophisticated machine. I mean, they're studying, for instance, neurologists, they're studying the brain. And still they understand very little of just the brain. I read some time back, there was some little organ below the liver or something like that, that they never understood what was that for. And then some researcher found, oh, that's a function. And that's there. I mean, that's gross. It's not even as complex as a brain. So this body, although miserable, temporary, painful, is very, very valuable because it's an instrument. But in itself, it's not healthy to have a body. It's like a car. Car is very useful, but you don't start licking the tires of the car. Or you don't start smelling the exhaust. But it's valuable. It's valuable for us as a means of transport. So the body is not for sense gratification. What's that verse? Nunam pramatha krute vikarma yat indriya pritaya aprinoti. Then? Nasadu manye yata atmanoyam asana api kleshada asadeha. Asan api, although it is asat, is very valuable. and it's not for sense gratification. Otherwise, if we try to always enjoy more, iPhone 14, iPhone 15, iPhone 16, then we become mad. Nunam pramatta. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. And we do things which will become self-destructive. So, the body is great, especially human body is great. We can chant Hare Krishna. We can come to the temple. We can read. Animals cannot read. We can read. We can chant. We can sing. We can serve. So the body is precious. But in itself, it's just a machine. So we should not be fetishistic and try to extract more pleasure from the body. It's like, you know, you have this car, you have to put fuel, but you don't put more fuel than enough. So we need to eat, yes. And we need to eat good food. Something that pacifies our mind. Okay, I ate good food, warm food, okay. And we need some entertainment, you know, when it's cold, we need to be warm, when it's too warm, we need to be refreshed. We need to keep balance. But obviously, it's only an instrument. Okay? So, the answer is we need to be in touch with knowledge. Otherwise, the Maya magic will cover our consciousness. Okay? I heard there are devotees online. From there or from where? From there. Hare Krishna. I heard there are 300 devotees. Can they ask questions? No. See, you have not come to the temple, so you're punished. You cannot ask questions. Next time, you come here, okay? Because these people, they went through bus, this, that, the smog. You stayed at home. You cannot ask questions. I'm sorry. Nothing personal, okay? Any more questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, we also have same thing, hair and all, but the Supreme Personality also has the hair.
Yes.
Like, he would be attached also, I think.
He would be what?
He would be attached in those days.
Attached in those days?
With hair or something.
And your question being?
Then what is, like...
What shampoo Krishna used in Gara? You wanted to know that.
No, not like that. Then, he also has means reducing something.
He has what? Introducing.
No. He also means reducing hair or something. Reducing waste from the body.
Okay.
So, what is means how he had overcome over this? Or how he maybe what we should follow for his? Like, he would never attach with hair. He had good hair. Like, we can see here also.
So, your question, just to understand, what's your question?
Like, he also has good hair, but he's not attached with him.
He also has good hair. Yes. Ours are maybe a little better, but he also is not bad. Okay, yes.
But he doesn't get attached with his hair.
No, he's attached to his hair also.
What is fault in us?
Okay, thank you. Is your hair a style or just no, just came like that? Okay. No, you look a little scruffy today. I don't know. Okay, the difference is this. Krishna's body, Narayana's body, and the body of the associates of Krishna, like here we see Lalita, Vishakha Devi, their real body, their Satchitananda. Our bodies are imitation bodies. Imitation bodies. It's like if you have real food, and you have food, say, painted food, or photo food, They may look the same. Maybe from a distance. You look, there's a plate of food and there's a photo of a plate of food. You may, they look the same. But the real food is real food and the photo is only a photo. Doesn't have the substance. Okay? So similarly, the body of the Lord and of the eternal devotees of the Lord is beautiful. In the hair are beautiful. The hair are beautiful. But our hair is imitation hair. They're not real hair. And our bodies are imitation bodies. It's just like you have a real child and you have a doll. You cannot use the doll as your real child. You cannot send the doll to school. The tendency of very small children is to treat the doll like a person. Right? They talk with the doll, they dress the doll, but then when they grow up, they stop. Hopefully. Because the doll is not a real person. So, our body is simply a machine that resembles the original form of the Lord. So, yes, Krishna likes his hair, Krishna likes his body, but his body is not like our bodies. It's Satchitananda, means it's naturally fragrant. Our bodies are not naturally fragrant. I didn't get into it. We could get into the smells of the body. But the body is pretty smelly. That's why after the shampoo advertisement, there is soap advertisement. And then there is deodorant advertisement. And because we are conditioned, we think it's natural. It's natural. We need deodorants. But why we need deodorants? Because there's bad odor. Deodor, D means removing the odor. But when you study Krishna, his body is fragrant, naturally fragrant. There are so many verses that you smell him. There's a beautiful, I don't know, but it's written, there's a beautiful smell. Our bodies, if we want to make them less stinky, we have to do so much work. This perfume and that perfume. In the West, perfumes were invented or became prominent in France. Because people in France, they were not washing themselves. All these nobles like that, because they had very, very elaborate cosmetics and this and that. So they would not wash. And so they will smell very bad. So you heard, French perfumes. Now, French perfumes. Why French perfumes? Because they had to cover the bad smell with perfumes. So, this question is very stimulating. We need to understand these bodies are simply an imitation. And that because they're imitation, they are the limit. They are the limitations of the imitations. It's clear. And they are disgusting. So Krishna's body, it's all pleasant. What's that verse? Maduram, maduram, vapurasya vibhu. His body is maduram. Okay? And his face is... And it doesn't become old. When you see Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he was 100 years old or something like that. And he was looking like 16 years old. One thing Srila Prabhupada said today in the purport is that they are Nava Yovanam, eternally young. Our hair, you may say, they are aesthetically attractive, but only for some time. Then you had to then become gray, then become white. Sometimes they fall completely. Our teeth, when we are young, a smile, a teenager smile, very nice. But then, after some time, they start rotting. Then one out, two out, after some time, all out. So, even if there is an impression of beauty, it doesn't last. Nobody can be beautiful. Once Radhana Maharaj said that beauty, like a woman, can be maximum beautiful for 20 years. I mean, you can stretch it 25. A little cosmetic surgery, 30. But you can't always be beautiful. See all these actresses, Bollywood actresses, they have a very short window of beauty. If they are very good actress, they change the role. Like Amitabh Bachchan. Amitabh Bachchan before, 30, 40 years ago, it was like the... Angry young man, but also beautiful, right? It was like everybody, oh, beautiful, beautiful. Now he plays always grandfather, right? After some time, he will play the corpse. You follow? He can't. So even if there are good actresses, maybe they start doing the beautiful thing, but then they change. Many actresses were not very good. After they hit 40, nobody hires them anymore. Because this world is a great grinder. And it kills everybody. Hollywood actress, Bollywood actresses, Tollywood. All the actresses, they crushed. Not only they lose their effulgence, they lose their beauty, they lose their youth, they lose their hair, they lose the color of the hair. And it becomes harder and harder and harder. I see people... that, you know, they try to fight this hair discoloration, okay, and they put black, and it's like a torture because the hair grows, okay, and then you have the white inside, and then and it's a rush, but you'll never win, and some people do it every day, like a sadhana. No, because every day the hair grows a little bit. So, you know, and some people kind of at one point they gave up. And you can see they have half hair black and half hair white. They just gave up. At that point, it's too much. And some men, I don't know, I'm in India since more than 35 years. I never understood. Men put red in their hair? How does it work? You saw that? It's true? I only the person who sees that? It's a fact, no? They put red. I don't know why. Is it considered beautiful? Mandy. Oh, okay. Sorry. So, there is a struggle for keeping this hair alive or beautiful or just sometimes it's a big struggle to keep them on the head. When I watched this YouTube video, no, and one of the regular advertisement is this guy, he speaks in Hindi. I don't know what he says. But he says, hey, fall, hair fall, I have the solution for you. You saw the guy? You saw the guy on YouTube? You saw. All the time I come. I would like to say, I don't care, I'm Hare Krishna, I shave up. I don't care, even if they fall. See the bodies, when they shave up, they don't care. You don't know if their hair follows not, because they cut it. Once there was a movie, there is a comedy in Italy, and this is in the 80s. So, and they asked the devotees to do a scene, no? So the devotee, it's a comedy, okay? So there is the main comedian, they meet the devotee, and they speak 2 minutes like that, and then the devotees walk away. And then this comedian says, you see these people, these Hare Krishnas, are peaceful, they're always smiling, and most important of all, they solve all their hair problems. Last question? Yes. Please, can you wait for the mic? No, please wait for the mic. This will be recorded, so for forever you will see you asking the question.
Ask if everybody is fearful. How do you overcome fear? Because I think Yashoda Mata was also fearful for Krishna all the time.
Yes.
So it started from that. You're fearful for everything.
Yeah.
So why is that? And how can we overcome that?
Good. Thank you. See, just like there are material hair and there's spiritual hair, and they are very different in nature, there is material fear and spiritual fear. So spiritual fear can take different shapes. In the case of Yashoda Devi, she was afraid. Why she ties Krishna? Because she was afraid Krishna is running away, go to the jungle, like that. But because it's centered on Krishna, that fear is purifying. And it's spiritual. And it's a form, it's hard to understand, but it's a form of ecstasy. Because when the feelings are on Krishna, it's a form of very special bliss. So, material fear, we fear for our body, we fear for our security, we fear for our children, we fear for our society, we fear in many, many, many ways. And it's generally very depressing, very painful, and generally there's no gain. Because at the end, all our fears are realized. Because at the end, we have to leave this body. After struggling so many years to keep it a little bit pleasant or keep it a little bit healthy, at the end, we'll lose the battle. Spiritual fear is different. For instance, in the 10th canto, there is a description. When Devaki was pregnant with Krishna, she was also fearful that Kamsa will kill Krishna. And Acharyas have explained that that type of fear is devotional, is spiritual, is perfect. And Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport that we also fear, like Devaki was fearing from Krishna, we fear that in different countries, the people who are against our movement, they may harm the movement. So for us, we should transform our fear. Fear is natural in this world. Nobody can be completely fearless, but we should transform our fear from, say, oh, I don't look good anymore, or I don't have the latest iPhone, or this or that, all these fears. We should become fearful. Oh, I'm not using my time in a wise way. I'm wasting my time. I'm not making spiritual advancement. That's a good fear. But, as I said, there is also the transcendental fear of Mother Yashoda. So I invite you to study. You have these books? You have some of these books? Please get them. You study and all these things will become clear. Because, you see, sometimes people think of spiritual life like negation. Negation. There's so many feelings in material life, so spiritual life must be devoid of feelings. But it's not like that. That's a very kind of limited understanding of spiritual life. Spiritual life has all the feelings, and even more, but it's not centered on our temporary body, is centered on Krishna. And that's perfect and purifying. Okay? So thank you very much for your attention, for your patience, and some time for laughing for my jokes.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for such an enlivening session, enlivening class. Practically each and every one of us.
I don't know if it was enlivening or depressing, but
each and every member, we are very much attached to the each and every word which is coming from your wonderful mouth, Prabhuji. So let's express our gratitude to Prabhuji by loudly chanting 3 times, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And also request you, Prabhuji, whenever you are coming to Mumbai, please kindly bless us so that again we can hear you more and more. Thank you, Prabhuji. His grace Kaunteya Prabhu ki. Yeah.